few words on the Seder Chagav before we'd like to get to the end of the Mishnah. We'd just like to add to what we said last week a different mahalach that there are in different portion that are explained the Seder Chagav relative to a Rav. And the point, a regular Rav, the point that is of interest is Aser Harav. It doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah, it says Aser Harav, Melech HaChover, in the list of Avarati Harbi Toyer Meravoysa, Yoyse Mechavirai. The most I learned from my Talmidim. So the Talmidim should be here, they're left out. Where the Talmidim? So the Mephoshim explained that here we're talking about initiative. And we have both chedushim here. One is Aser HaRav, the requirement, the responsibility for establishing the relationship between the Rav and the Talmud is on the Talmud. He has to make the Rav.
What was the question?
The Mishnah should have, it's Aser HaRav, Kneel HaChover, so we're talking about Rav, HaChover, the mission should finish with a Talmud. Those are the three. Rav, Chover, Talmud that we usually deal with. If you're talking about Rav and Chover, then the third one on the list is the Talmud. Right? The one who knows more than you, the one that's equal to you, the one who knows less than you. That would be the three, so. The Talmud got left out.
You mean from the Rav's point?
No, the Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about have Talmudim. How to relate to Talmudim.
How to relate to
it. It doesn't say anything about Talmudim. It says in the place of what to do with Talmidim, it says they've done as kolov chavskos. Enoch and Ami, some of the Shaitim explained, they've done as kolov chavskos, it's particularly referring to people that are underlings. You're the dying, and there he's telling you, but you have to be done, but done on chavskos. But as far as the direct relationship to a Rav and a Talmud, the Seder HaRav, it says, Talmud were left out. The answer, he says, this is from the Chosid Yaivitz, who was from the Grushi Sephard. left Spain 500 years ago. And after he left, he wrote the Pirushim Bekiyovitz, and he has this very important, they just put it out again, it hasn't been out for a long time. So he says this idea that Aser HaRav, it's a responsibility on the Talmud to establish a relationship with the Rav. He says, unlike things that happen in Medina, that we've seen in his travels, where the Ravs go after the Talmidim. This is very important in today's day and age. There are, unfortunately, a breakdown of proper relationships between Rav and Talmud. One of the reasons being is that we have to make Danim Lachav schools, but there are people who establish yeshivas in order that they should have a yeshiva, and therefore have to go to sometimes very, very low forms of behavior in order to try to convince Talmudim to come to their yeshiva in particular. This is against the Mishnah. I'm just telling us that that's not the way it's supposed to be done. The Talmud has to go after the Rav. Aser HaRav. And this is for a few reasons. The most basic one is that the hashpah, that of Torah, of Yerav, everything that you have to learn from a Rav, has to come with two requirements. One, with the respect of the Talmud for the Rav. And two, with the Ein Olam Lo Yimid Al Makom Shebo Chofetz. Besides the objective value of the Rav that the Talmud has to appreciate for it to be effective, there are different Rebbeim, there are different Nusachs, there are different Signoinos, there are different forms, there are different presentations, and a Talmud has to learn where it's good for his particular subjective reasons. This is important, Salach and Shulchan Aruch, anybody who has kids. So after they become Bar Das, you can't impose on them where they should learn. could discuss with them, you could encourage things that you desire, but you can't impose, because it's against the Seder Chayav. The child, talking about an older child, right, exactly, if it exactly cuts off at the 13 age or not, but at the 18-year-olds or the 16-year-olds for sure. If it's not where the kid wants to learn, it could be the best thing in the world, it isn't going to work. And if it's not what you really wanted, but the kid really wants it, you have to go with it. So the Rav is halacha and Shulchan Aruch. There's no kivra av when it comes to this. Child wants to learn by this yeshiva, the father wants the other yeshiva, it's halacha b'purush yosef and Shulchan Aruch. You can go wherever he wants and tell Av, I'm sorry. Say it nicely. Say, I'm sorry. Because the basic requirements of the establishment between the relationship, the working relationship of Av and Talmud, requires that it comes from an initiative, from a desire, from the Talmud. This is an important point that we learn from Seder Chayav. And the additional point that the Rav has to hold his respect and his dignity and not to go and loading himself to pull in Talmidim. If he's of value, and if Klal Yisrael needs him, the Bnei Yisrael will send him Talmidim. And if not, so there are other things. There are other ways that a person can do things. For a person, I must have Talmidim, and I'll take the Talmud and encourage him in all kinds of things that would be fitting for businesses, other forms of get your clientele. All kinds of come on to these things, isn't that? Unfortunately, it has found its inroads in certain places. And Father, we have to be down the chafsos, but it's important. We're doing a mission to point out that this is wrong. And this is negative, and it's a breakdown of the respective Torah and respective rabbinim. And it will cause that what has happened at certain yeshivas, that the Talmidim don't see themselves as functions of the Rebbe, but they see the rabbinim as functions of themselves. They knei lecha Rebbe. I have a wife, kids, house, and a Rebbe. And it's one of my belongings. I need him for certain purposes, and I use him. Talmud is there to serve the Rebbe. The Rebbe is not there to serve the Talmud. In that form, the Rebbe serves the Talmud. But when you break down the basic relationship, when things don't work, we'll just say this way, things don't work the way they should be, at best. Question?
My question is, maybe the mission doesn't focus on the relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmud. Possibly the idea is because each person, inclusive of every Rebbe, has to say the Chara.
So that's good for the beginning.
Okay, so therefore, what would be the relationship between the Rebbe to his Talmud? He would at least want the same relationship that he has a Talmud, even though he's a Rav for this one, he would want the same relationship as he has from his Rav to him. In other words, it's a hierarchy. The Rav to this Talmud is a Talmud to this Rav. And so on and so forth.
Yep.
So if everybody has to asay lecha Rav, the relationship that you pass on to your Talmud would be no less than what you want from the Rav passed down to you. So the mission doesn't have to focus on
it. You're doing it in reverse.
No, in other words, it seems to me like it's a given. What's the relationship between the Rebbe and the Rav? The Rav and the Talmud.
Yeah.
Should be no less than the relationship between him and his Rav.
We're not talking about less or more. We're talking about the quality of a relationship, which part of the establishing form of relationship is on whose initiative will have
to be. Yes,
so when you say a Seder Chayav,
Talmud has to run, it has to.
So that's what we explain, that you can't say to the Rebbe, when we say a Seder Chayav, we're talking to the Talmud. But do we talk to the Rebbe about the Talmud? No. Not in this Mishnah.
Why? Because each Rav should be in his own eyes somehow as a Talmud to
the Rebbe. When the Talmud comes, that the Rebbe should be there to accept him, even if he's not exactly. That we had in early Mishnah. Mm-hmm. We had in the first Mishnah, the Amidot Amidim Harbing. But in this Mishnah, which is telling you how to establish relationships, we don't talk to the Rebbe to establish relationships in the Talmud. That's a distortion. A Rebbe doesn't establish relationships. A Rebbe is there that when somebody knocks on his door, he'll open.
When you say that Amidot Amidim Harbe, I mean, you're really saying that the Rebbe has to establish a lot of Talmud, right?
So we explain that, that what that meant is, what are the entrance requirements?
What about?
What were the entrance requirements? Depends on.
So it comes to what you're saying now. The entrance requirements can be the finagling and the fooling around.
That's not entrance requirements. That's advertising.
Entrance requirements. That's really the Talmud wants to. Wants to learn from the world. What more than the world?
He wants to support his family so that they can get more.
No. That he wants to sit away from that Bible. What's the entrance for Talmud?
What the quality of the Talmud? How strict can you be in the requirements of the quality of the Talmud? To say I only want this quality, not that quality. So Talmud Harbeim, and Harbeim, you talk about quantities, and the quality will go down. Okay. So this is an important point. It has ramification in many areas, but the same thing, just another point. Is that there are times when people sit back and say, why didn't anybody tell me? And it says, why didn't you ask? Right. Why didn't somebody tell me? Come ask me, I know. Right. This is where the difficulties come in. The person has to know that each person has an independent responsibility for his life. There are responsibilities that I have on others. So the techir that everybody has to account with is a chiv in the Torah, but the chiv that the Talmud has towards the Rav is his basic knowledge, his basic requirements. If he takes it that I'm doing the Rav a favor, then he's missing the very essence of what is he doing. A Seder HaRav is teaching us the requirement to appreciate that from the Talmud's point of view, he has to hear clear that the Talmud needs the Rav. The Rav doesn't need the Talmud. Although there is a truth that the Rav does need the Talmud, there is an advantage in a greatness that comes bedafka through Talmud that you can't get without it. Most of the person learns from his Talmidim. But the Talmud can't come, as it's sometimes the case nowadays, I'm a real good Talmud. You need me. I sat in once at such a meeting, and a group of Talmidim came from Yeshiva Tana, and they came to a certain Yeshiva Tana, and they explained to the Anhola their tnoi. What their expectations are, how much they will allow the Anhala to mix in their private business. So, the stuff. The Talmidim bothered me a little bit. But that the Rebbeinu sat there and shake their heads, that bothered me a lot. If the beginning basic relationship between Talmud and Rav is not periodic, and how much Torah is going to go down that chain? The pipes are rotten. If the pipes are rotten, how much Torah can pour through these things? Right. Yeah.
How does this fit into key report, something we deal with people who don't know anything about.
Go learn from me.
Okay, so that doesn't, we're not the party.
That's Magen David Adom. That's a solid work.
We're talking about love already. You're supposed to
doctors have to go to patients.
We're talking about love, and we have to know something already, and you should know better than to behave this counter Derek Garrett's.
An important thing in Kiyuv work is, in the beginning, as a b'di'evid, we can go out of these rules, and it's not Torah. At that point, it's not Torah. At that point, it's enlightenment. Come to show, hey, there's something here you may be interested in. It'll catch your interest. So you can use any flashy tricks that'll work. But that's good for a start. Right? It's very bad for a finish.
Right.
It has to change very quickly to a Torah relationship. If not, it will turn into certain forms of the cure work, which we would like to not to mention. What? Behavi Dan is called Odom Mechavskus. I'd like to spend the remaining time that we have on this. I mean, this is a very central idea in the relationships of all human relationships. All is based on this. First, the rules. It's all off. First of all, we have to know it's a chalif. It's not an itzit teiva, and it's not an midas to chasidus. It's a chiyuv, it's a posit. Tzedek tishbet is a mesechah. The Gemara in Shu'ah Daf Lamed says that the tzedek tishbet is a mesechah, you have to be down l'chav zchus. Person is down l'chav zchus. So there's a tremendous schar. Chav Tzkayim explains in Shmir Zoloshin that this is probably the greatest single determining factor for how a person's din will come out in the end of time. Or every Rosh Hashanah, whenever there is a din. The Rabban Yishalom has his messengers, his hashkocha. He knows exactly what everybody did and why he did it and how he did it and what were the circumstances. Torah is neither enough to be right. Person has a roiv mitzvahs, is a tzaddik. He had a roiv averus, is a rasha. The same list, if it would be possible, you could have two people with the same list of mitzvahs and averus, and one will come out a big tzaddik, one will come out a rasha. What's the determining factor? The biggest determining factor, and this is true in many of the things that we learn in Rosh Hashanah, in the din of Shemayim, is not the din itself, but which court you get into. What midah of din, or rachamim, is the kisei hamishpat that you're being judged against? The Rabban Yishalom has many systems. There's nobody, the greatest malachim, the biggest tzaddikim, the Ovos HaOlam, the Shemayim Va'aretz, will be able to stand up to the Imek Adin. So the Rishon has to show, what it says, all of the Rishon liver, so all of the Midas Adin, Rosh Eni Yochol Esamet. I can't stand. No, we can make that. Absolute perfection in the Rishon's terms, nobody outside the Rishon could stand up to those tests. Shita Dino Midas Arachet. Basic essence of the world, the Anhoga, the Rabban Yishalom's basic Anhoga is always Lifni Yeshua Zadin relative to the absolute din of the Rabban Yishalom. However, there are many, many levels. If the Rabban Yishalom, even on a much, much lower level than absolute din, but would judge our mitzvahs by some requirements of the higher forms of the requirements of what a mitzvah is, our mitzvahs would come out looking very, very shaky. Were they lishma? Was it the proper level of ahava, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, the proper level of simcha in the involvement in the mitzvah Hashem. Were these things there? The diktika halacha, were all of the halachas to down to the details done exactly properly? Or were there things that were done properly but not completely? If the Rabbanu Shalom would judge us, chas v'shalom, on the stricter forms of din, maybe there are tzaddikim would be able to stand up to that. Yaakov Avinu said that his, at least according to some of the Rishayim Nefiat, says in the Drosh and Chazal like this, that when he said V'yisad li l'Elokim, in his neder, was that he would stand up, if the B'nai will help him through this whole thing, he will stand up and come to the level that he can stand not in front of Shem Avaya, which is Midas HaRachim, but Shem Midas HaElokim, who would live according to Midas HaDin. Obviously, that's also relative terms. Absolutely nobody can stand up. But even that relative Midas HaDin, Yaakov Avinu can stand up to. Maybe there's another few tzaddikim around. But for the average, each person himself certainly cannot rely on the fact that he'll be able to, his mitzvahs will stand up to the test to see how solid are they. And then even if he has a long list of mitzvahs, some of them may not count. They may not count for much. And their veirs, on the other hand, how much gishmak did he have in their veir? How deep within his kriyas and nefesh did the desire to go in this wrong direction come? When it comes to some of those averus, it was solid. The person would end up chas v'sholem, the regular averus can be lost. Why is this determined now? How the main determining factor, maybe others, but the most basic determining factor, which is Amidas HaDin. The Midas HaDin judges which court you go into. And that Midas HaDin is Mida Keneged Mida. Whatever, you can choose. A person can choose which court you want to go into. But not that. That's too late. Now, the way he judged those that he judged, so will he be judged. Every time that a person has an opportunity, which happens tens of times, even a day, he's determining, he's choosing which court he wants to go into. The sum total of the B'nai Shalom HaMet Techejvin adds up. The first thing that they have to determine before the particular of the court is which court they send you into. So they add up all of your judgments, and they weigh it out. And they determine your number of this level of rachamim, or chas v'sholem din, and they send you to the corresponding court. Every time that a person is zeichet to be damas chaver l'chatz chus, so then min hadin is that he goes into a higher level of rachamim, and in the highest levels you're guaranteed success. A person can attain mamish, a schus to be nidim b'yachamim. The la'osad lovoi, it's mentioned in Tanakh, Filu, and Chazal clearer, in some of the others far maybe even clearer, that all of the golos and all of the tzoros of golos and everything that we'll be through will merit that Klai Yisrael in the end, when push comes to shove, will have a higher enough level of rachamim to be judged on that they can't lose. And this is the way that Bechira was still functioning throughout history. But even so, the Vanshim knew for sure there was no gamble. He's going to win. He then come to Tachas. Because through all of history, all of Klai Yisrael has been through, all of them they stand up to, all of the Tzoros that we've been through, it's all schus. And the first schus where it takes place in is that it gives us a right to be judged in a greater level of rachamim. Until we have all of the psukim in Tanakh that explain that in the end, the time of Klai Yisrael eventually has some time rabba someplace where he That's where we destroy these chatoim. We harper them. All of the psukim that Yom Yerushalayim davening, what we bring, Yerushalayim has a way. You can deal with that. But deny that you have the higher level of rafa. That you have to deserve. One of the most easiest and most basic ways of deserving higher level of rachem is how you judge others. This is a very basic essence in the success story or chas v'shalom for Karen of a person going through this world. This world is a very dangerous place. There are so many shyness that we go through. And what are we up with? What are our tools? We have to work with this goof, all of our koichos, all of our physical involvement in the world. It seems everything's going against us. But there are these basic ideas that these are our life forms. This is what we're going to take us through. This is very basic in essence in the success. Yes?
Is there anything wrong with the... When you come to judging a person, you say, okay, I'll die in the cuff schools because I don't want to be done myself. Is it wrong to think that way, or should you think, okay, you know, in a pure sense that that he is saying that?
That's fair. One step before that. First of all, what are the rules of Dan Lachashtos? There are three basic rules. A tzaddik is always needing Lachashtos, even when it is totally obvious, 90-1, that this something was wrong. Always a tzaddik is needing Lachashtos as a chiv. Even if you caught him red-handed, you saw him doing it right. Your own eyes, there's no... Al taharacha. Vada yosa tshuva. Shemosa tshuva. Vada yosa tshuva. You have to have no doubt in your mind. By the next morning, you did tshuva. No doubt. That's a tzaddik. A rosha, who does the biggest, wonderful, nicest thing, he has evil intentions. Always done on the chakras. I won't go into right now exactly how you establish somebody's prop. How do you give somebody that title? It's not so easy. There are some people nowadays that it's easy. Nowadays we have some easier time. There are some people that are proud of it. Make me feel good. We believe in riches. They call it something else, doesn't it? See, these people fear Dan Lachav Choy. Ben Yon even brings a posik in Mishlei Chof Aleph. Maskel Tzadik Debeis Chof Nesalef Rishonim Nera. He says, not like people think. You think that Tzadikim, since they're always involved in Toy, they don't understand exactly all of the amumiyus of the Rishonim, what they're involved in, what they have up their sleeves. Maskel tzadik v'eis rosho. A tzadik understands good, good. Tzadik doesn't mean somebody who's a tomim that doesn't understand the ways of the world. Comes to a rosho, he knows good, good, better than the regular average person, what the rosho has up its sleeve. And even when it's obvious that he's doing something good, mesalek rishonim v'eis rosho. A tzadik, mesalek, it sounds like he turned it, made a mistake out of it. Everybody will say, well, what do you mean? But can't you see that he finally did something good? And the tzaddik says, eh. He dreams up this whole idea of what he has up his sleeve. The tzaddik, the rosh.
Possibly can define a little bit. I mean, this is a nice thing. Or you call it short all the time. I don't want to point it. A little bit of shear, not the shear of the Russian pit.
Anybody qualifies to be an happy curious? Or a never happy curious? Like, so you don't have to have the evil of an happy curious, meaning that you did it. You were brought up that way. We have to be makar of them. But right now, the happy curious, they're assumed bad until proven good. even though that we still consider they're basically good, they're yidden. The person who lives on the level of the forces, anybody who is qualified to the Talmud Chacham is a tzaddik. This is relative to generations. What you need in today's generation to call a tzaddik is not what you needed 100 years ago, nor what you needed 1,000 years ago.
Is that true for Russia also? You worry about somebody who doesn't know from anything, just has to be one of those assimilated Jews.
So I'm saying, the assimilated Jews is that we have two hands. We deal with his outside reality and his inside reality. His outside reality can be not be cursed. His inside reality could be. His inside reality that he could be in the Shomer Torah. And so we can apply both realities to him together. That's what we're doing. So now on the surface, if it's a surface training reacting here, he's a Rashi, he's doing all kinds of hanky panky. Right? If there's a possibility that the inner neshama is coming out, then he's a tzaddik. So let's be careful. We have two hands. Because they are in two levels. Who is Isa Aver Lahachas is a Rosh. A person who is Mivazit Aver is a Rosh. Regardless of where his training is from. Maybe never a Rosh, but he's a Rosh. A person who is a Talmud Chacham is a Tzaddik. Is that the only person who is a Tzaddik? But he's a tzaddik. Is anybody who is not making a living and is in kollel a Talmud Chacham? No. But many are. That's just a few people. Most average, one of the people that you meet up with will be a Beinoni. A Beinoni is a person that sometimes does good and sometimes does bad. Sometimes he goes after the Yetzer Tov, and sometimes he goes after the Yetzer Hara. Then the law is as follows. If it's 50-50, you're mechuyav to say that it was good. If it was 60-40 to the bad, then you're supposed to, if you can, try to figure out why it's good. If it was obviously bad, strongly noted, 80-20. Okay. We have to assume that this was bad. You're allowed to assume that it was bad. Those are the rules. The Gemara, I'll tell you a story. My wife told me over this story. I think she heard it on some tape. It's a tremendous story. Classical example. We'll show you the Gemara is the same type of stories. This is a story that happened in Bnei Brak. Terer Mishpocha, not very wealthy to say the least, came to marry off their daughter. So they went through whatever people go through, and somehow they managed to get their wedding day. Of course, their friends, the people they know, everybody was involved to try to help what they can. And this was known as a family that always preached by what they said and mostly by what they did, simplicity. Minimum, it's not going after. And people come to the chasna. What a chasna. Just the flowers that were at that chasna could have made three chasnas. Not the food that was there. What happened to that? But this is, we had to help them out for this. Good, you have to make chasna, but you have to make. All these flowers, all this food, the shmuz from before, this afterwards, the table afterwards, what's going on? Everybody was getting very upset. It was talking. this is the guy who says no mercy. Look at this guy. Finally, the person, after days of Jerusalem went on, suffered, he had to go back and ask permission to reveal the truth of the story in order that to stop what could be Chilul Hashem. So he asked permission, and the story came out. When they came to Rakshal, what was happening in Rakshal, to make arrangements for the chasna, so they came and they said, this is how much money we have, we want the most minimum chasna, and they tried to bargain and make whatever minimum deal they can. While they were sitting there, Mrs. Rakshal, the old Mrs. Rakshal, came in and said, what was the name? She said, you know, your father got me out of Europe. I'm making this chasna, my chasna. Just one thing I asked, you shouldn't talk. She made a chasna. She made a chasna. Right. People came in, they didn't know who buried themselves. The whole world was talking. Dan Lechavskos means that the question is such a good question that it should tell you that it's obvious there's something here. The Yisoid of Dan Lechavskos is that we look beneath the surface. A tzaddik doesn't do averis. A rasha is assumed until proven otherwise, doesn't do mitzvahs. If he does them, he has utterly mitzvahs. A beinoni, true, he may, under certain circumstances, do averis, but usually he does mitzvahs. These are the chazakas, which is the mitzvahs of the Yiddish Hashem. If a person lived the life of simplicity, and you walk into a chasna that looks like this, instead of you don't have to know the answer. Who's going to dream up this one? You have to be a genius to figure out such an answer. But you should have been able to stand up and say, this is obvious that something, I don't know why. But it's 100%. The Gemara in Shabbos gives a few examples, and all of the punchlines are the same. This is the rule. A person is done with half schools, so they're done with Mishamayim. Him is schools. Maisa ba'olam echad shiyod megol ha'olim v'nizka etza ba'abayis echad bedo im sholei sholei. He went to work, he didn't have money to support his family, he found himself a rich fellow down south who he made a deal he would work for him for 3 years. Didn't get paid monthly payments. At the end of 3 years, he gets paid for the whole. Almost inevitably. Comes the end of the 3 years, Erev Yom Kippur. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Omelet Tenli Skoi. The Ezlin as each to your life. Give me my wages. I can go back and support my family. Omelet Yenli Moya. The running money side. This Tenli Payers. So give me produce. And then, sorry. Tenli Parka. So give it to me in real estate. And then, a fabulously rich person. Estates. He doesn't have any real estate. Tenli Behemoth. So give me animals. And then, doesn't have any. Tenli Kora and Luxos. I worked in your house. Right. Just the blankets would pay for 3 years of my work. Give me a couple of blankets. And doesn't have any blankets. No pillows and blankets. So we might have reacted otherwise. But he, Hifshul Caleb Lachayo, he threw his back on his back, rolled up a basin, went home. Bipri Nefesh. A lot of anger. He's upset. Bipri Nefesh doesn't mean being upset at the other. This is the day he's looking to get out of his financial tzaras. Comes home penniless. La'acha ha'regel, after sukkis, lokal balabayis chor b'yodin, he took his wages. The imoy masa gimel chamorim, he brought with him, as a present, as an appeasement, 3 donkeys worth of goods, echad shal meichel, echad shal mishtav, echad shal minyan hagodim, v'holach le'lebeis. Took him. Aka she'ochel, v'sholsoy nosan lo'y schor. He paid. Omloy v'sholsoy omloy ten li schor, v'amarty en li moitz, v'amachah shanatani. What'd you think? Amarty shem v'pachamachi b'zol nizdam, v'lachom v'lachach v'beh. Some good deal came out. We bought. What about you? What do you think when I told you I don't have any animals? They rented out, so you couldn't give it to them. Land, yeah? Huge lands. What happened? I said I have lands. You leased it, whatever you want to call it in English, where people work for you, but they have, so you couldn't give it to me because you have agreements. So Shemar Techa Peiris, the Machashanatani, they give me produce. Marathi Shemayim Musaris. Mises and Shumas weren't taken care of, you wouldn't be able to give it to me. So Shemar Techa Mikor Musaris. Nobody can answer to that. You had a whole house full of goods. Karang Sos is just a marshal. It includes a picture on the wall in China and everything. What's with that? Alright, the Shema Higdish Kol Chosuk B'Shemayim. Maybe you were magdish everything that you want to Shemayim. Omelei Ha'avoida Meir Shvua Kachoyim. Exactly the way you said, that's what it was. Hidarti Kol Nechosai B'Shil Hokin Esbi Shil Asaf Taira. ושבאתי את החברי בדורם, ותירו לי כל הדורי, ואת הקשיים שנתן לי לסוס, המוח ניתן כל תחות סוס. There's a few other such stories. The punchline is the same in all of them. The person went under the ground to figure out how could it be thinking. Come on. It can't be. It's obvious. It's telling you that. No. He came home, empty-handed. That's why I said, no. I asked him if the money didn't have any money. It must be. So I said, what? Then animals and cark or this. That's why I said, what? He said, no, you'll see. Just a few days, things will change, and he'll come. Imagine the conversations that may have been going on. Still, Mesh is Chovak the Chovak, that she was also. Dan Chavsus expected his explanations. The punchline in all the Gemara's is that exactly these wild stories that they thought up were, that's what happened. The Gemara teaches us, and then we can go, we don't have time for it, but there are many other such stories in the Gemara and the Chazal. The punchline is always that these wild ideas that you came up with, that's exactly what happened. Why does that have to be the punchline? Stop, you have to take on something, even though it may not be the case. The answer is because in Dan Chavsus we learn from the pasuk with Tzedek Tishpit Tisam Yisecha. It's a real judgment. It's a proper judgment. It's a fair judgment. But it depends what are your basic assumptions. If your number one assumption is that a Jew, a kosher Jew, a Tzedek, or at least in the 50-50 range or the 60-40 range, anybody, any Jew, it can't be. You wouldn't do it. Share yourself like Asraf. Can't be. It's obviously he's ruining it. It's obviously he's doing things that's clear in Islam. That's Bechal not a possibility. That has 90% against it for starters. So now I have something that is, anytime a person would have 90 to 1, 99 to 1, it has to be one way. If there are evidence that appears to be the other way, you just don't assume it's the other way. So no, really my 99 is right. And this evidence has to be explained somehow. It's the exception. to come up with something that the subjective truth that is a basis on the chazaka of what a Jew is, what Nisus Yisrael is, even in a Beinoni, certainly bad tzaddik, requires to make a proper judgment. It's betzedek. Tzedek means straight. Betzedek, tish b'tesam yisefa. Make a proper judgment. When you're judging a Jew, just taking the surface facts, that's not a proper judgment. In the reverse, it's also true. When you're judging a Russia, just taking the surface facts of the Torah is not a proper judgment either. The guy's a snake. I'm gonna know. Politician. Right? Oh, everything. He's for sure lying. The question is why, how, what does he really mean? What does he want you to think that he means? What do you think that he thinks that he means? What? But the truth, a fellow in business told me the other day, he said, you know how he fools his business partners? He tells them the truth. He tells them the way it is. He says, that's for sure they never believe. That's the way they do business. Tell them the truth, so that I'm safe. I know they'll never think of that.
Question: what is, how did going fit into
this? Yeah.
What? Decide on each one individually what we think.
This is a mitzvah in relating to Jews.
Right. So anyway.
Instead of Tishvah Am Yisrael, this klal is a Jewish klal.
Right. But now
they don't fit into this klal.
Okay.
There are different rules.
Huh?
There are different rules.
There are different rules over here.
Okay.
Okay. How does what about like religious people in political parties who have a problem now that they're tainted by this mitzvah, which of course is kind of difficult. So it's like it's a result of a bad situation around people who have, let's say, a result of maybe a meaning. I don't exactly how to view this thing.
Since you're talking about current events, which is something that is very, very difficult to speak about because we don't have the perspective, we're too close to it. So I prefer not to give you a direct answer. I will just give you a general claw. Those that are tzaddikim, the real Gdolei Yisrael, they, we have a chiyuv gomur, and it's a classical example, of being dan chavskos, even when it's totally obvious on the surface that they made a mistake, that they're doing something wrong, that things are going against what any seichel, any basic idea, logical sense, or even what the Torah seems to say, you have to say, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I have to say, it can't be. It looks cruel. It looks bad. It looks wrong. Okay? Now this, we have the claw of small shul yamin. You have to polish it, even if it appears to be small, there's nothing the way they use nowadays the word left and right. Even if they say small, right, what they're saying small will turn out to be yamin. Binyan, no'orim, steer. Steer is a kainim binyan. Something looks like they're tearing things down, they're destroying things. It's terrible, how are they doing this? You don't have the perspective. In the end, you'll see that, no, they were right. And at the time, it looks, how can I do such things? We can evolve from it. They get to what's called. So here we have a chiyuv on all sides. Even when it seems to be a steer between this one and that one. Right? You have to be down the mall. That's on the top. On the bottom level, somebody who's basically a politician, even if he has a keep on his head. Right? Politician is a rosher by definition. There are people, we'll take one example just to have parents, who is in a political position is not a politician. That's why he's bringing out. He's a tzaddik. They'll pray. It's amazing that he lasted in that system this long, but that's, you know. But there are people that are politicians. They just go black hats. A politician is a rosher. He doesn't have to be evil. He is evil, but I mean, that doesn't mean that we have to look at him as a bad person. That's not the point. This is a system of rishis. The whole system is based on check. A person who accepts the basic ground rules of the system has joined a world of check. How do good people get messed up in that thing? It's a problem. There are people in the middle. There are people in the middle. So it's just like in everything. We have to bend over backwards to be down the chazkos. We have to do our best. And the chances are, especially if you start knowing what's really going on behind the scenes, that the down the chazkos has plenty of real basis to it. But if you see something that it's clear, there really are no two sides, a bein be allowed to be down the chazkos when necessary. So the rules that apply to this, it's just that it's much more complex, but the same rules in all cases. Business is a different form of an oilam hasheker by certain societies, right? Capitalism. Capitalism means check. Yeah. It values what I can get away with. What I can get away with has very flexible definitions. And therefore, it's very difficult to keep within the realm of anything called emes, what determines emes. Right, what determines right. Is it right to take 300% profit? Well, we're paying for it. I shouldn't. He's going to get it. But I have to give him a look. It gets very complicated. It's not so simple. So in that world also, you have a system that's correct. Now, we have tzaddikim being involved in that system, and therefore, no, always down with us. We have people that are part of the system and their basic identity. Right? Very short. You're allowed to, and you're mechuyif to. He's out to get you. He'll even tell me he's out to get you. They say, I'm out to take care of my own interests. All is fair, all these beautiful things. Right? I'm taking care of my own interests. If I can get you from the bottom, I'll get you. Right? Those are the rules. Right? There are Beinonim. There are people that are basically good Yidden, that are involved kosherly in a Sikh system, and sometimes lose sight of the lines. And they may fall in sometimes. So again, like all being it. When we can, even if we have to push a little, we have to go 60-40 against them, we have to down the chazkos. When it's 80-20, and certainly if we've been burnt already, we have a chiyuv to say, get happy. That goof is a down the chazkos. Maybe we'll finish with this. One area of down the chazkos, we said even by a tzaddik, whatever, you caught him black, he didn't have air, you saw him. He's still not finished with that process. By a tzaddik, you have to say, yeah, but he did tshuva 10 minutes later. By a beinoni, you're not so sure that he did tshuva. And therefore, maybe he's going to do it to you again. But you have to down the chazkos, there's financial pressures that I was under, the society confused him already, the way that the guy that he's dealing with on the other side fixed him. He's just, you know, passing it down. There can be down the chazkos that even though it's really wrong, and I have to watch out for him, I can understand. There's a reason for it. It doesn't excuse it, but I can understand him. He's not really such a bad guy. They call it, the action was evil, the person was good. So down the chazkos can be even when, but the basic rules always the same. Just to finish this one point that we wanted from the Gemara, make it clear, when you are down the chazkos properly according to the rules, time and time again, the Gemara is made on this. It's not the exception, it's the rule that will come in the end of the day, you'll find out that you came to the truth. This is not telling us how to go against the emes. This is telling us how to be oymed on the emes against surface reality. Because Am Yisrael, if he's a Jew, right, being down the chavzchus is emes. And a person who is oymed on that and lives his life that way, when he comes off the Bezin Shemayim, so before they start, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov come into the Bezin and say, but this is one of ours. That's different. One of ours, that's different. That goes into the... Then they start dealing with the problem. If a person lived a life of recognition of the value, Tzadik Tishba Tzav Mitzvecho, so Yizoycha Avraham Shemayim,
So that's what the Rosh means is the Chiddush of this Mishnah. What we learn in the Mishnah as a Chiddush other than the Chiv that we just learned from the Kunsh. This prat that living this way is like approaching, is going toward the Emes and bring us into this gate of Rachman. I mean, when we started this last week, we said, what does the Mishnah teach us that we don't know? It's basic. What am I learning? What I have to know this? You know, the Chumash is huge. Right? So what did I learn now? What's the finish? Is that
I didn't clarify this here, right? The connection is like this. The same way that just having a Rav is not sufficient. But a person has to know the underlying basis for that relationship. And therefore, I say to Harav, take the initiative. Kenei lecha chover. Not just, I have a friend. Friends to Chor should be equal. Right? So it's give and take. No. I have to value a friend and know that I have to even spend. So these diversions from absolute truth, lechor, in quote, which seems to be going against proper absolute facts the Torah usually deals with. Adar, over here, the teacher, the Torah is teaching us. In Rebbeim, Asay Lecharav. In Chavayim, Kenei Lechachov. In all people, Eridan is called on Lechavskos. We just, you open my mouth again, I'll throw out another little one-liner from the Sfasim. It's excellent. It says on this Mishnah, Eridan is called on other Lechavskos. It says, every time something happens, the guy did something bad to you. You're burning mad. And you're right, he did. It was bad. Right? Eridan is called Ha'odah. Put in perspective of the whole person. Right, so he has a tiresome moment can get him. This doesn't make him totally evil person. He has a weakness. I have other weaknesses. Right? Then you can deal with it. Eridan is called Ha'odah Mechaskos. How? By making, put in perspective of the whole person. That's a question. The basic element that goes through the Mishnah, it's saying that it would be Lushitose, the one who would be a Seder Chara, would be the same person that Lachaskos. On the one hand, you're right, it comes from an understanding that person is not an individual, lives on his own. But that comes from a deeper understanding. Why don't I go on my own? Oh, because we're social creatures, that's true. But the depth of the understanding of that is because we're part of a greater whole. There's see a fight between a nose and a toe. It's ridiculous. The toe's hurting, but you got into the nail, the nose starts yelling. The hand starts hitting the foot. You're hurting. And this is tripping over your toe. It threw us all down. Feet. Kind of is that feet. Threw us all down. You wouldn't watch him where you're going. We tripped. A whole bunch of us. We're all on the ground. I banged over here, banged over there. So all of the rest of the world started beating up the feet. When a person relates to all, especially within the Jewish whole, as part of a whole, so then it's an internal relationship, which has different rules to it. Each aspect relates according to its real value in the total relationship. Right? take this yourself now and go back to the different ideas. So we say that this is the string that goes through it. Person understands the necessity, not an outside advantage, but in definition of essence of all of these type of relationships. Not because it's good, you get advantages from it. That's why we said the Rav, it doesn't say Aseh Lecha Talmud. Either Rav has advantages from it. That's a different story, that's advantages. Rav has tremendous advantages from it. But it's part of the essence of existence that a Talmud is Aseh Lecha Rav. The Rav exists without the Talmud, the Talmud doesn't exist without the Rav. The Rav has tremendous advantages from the Talmud. So this type of understanding of the relationship between different people. So these are the results. It's not a distortion of the truth, but it's an understanding of what really works because we really are one person. We are one whole. And therefore you see, especially in Dharma Chavskos, that works. It's true. It'll come out. You claim this wild idea. Probably your neighbor this. Yeah. That's what happened.